got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive to HR, the number one daily radio show for the HR professionals. Well, today we are at TalentNet Live at Pizza Hut Corporate Office at Dallas. We are so excited. We just finished our session. We shared our story with all of our audience. It was so exciting to have William Tinker, Brian Mepton, and Nisha Raghavan at the same on the same place, on the same stage. So that was so much interesting. So we have our guest here with us today. Let's talk to our guest. Hey, Michael Goberman.
Hello.
Hey, hi, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. For some reason, we couldn't talk during the pre-show. So we are live on air right now.
Perfect.
Great. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I had to escape the loud lobby of TalentNet Live to go barricade myself in my car to talk. So, and got the air conditioning,
well,
of course. A cool, balmy day in Dallas.
Oh, great, great. Well, it's so funny that we both are in the same place, but you are in your car, and you're in a conference hall right now, and we're taking the show ahead.
Absolutely.
Great. So do us a favor. Tell us a little bit about yourself so that our audience can know a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. Well, first off, thanks to you all for having me on the show. I've always actually wanted to be on the show, so I was honored when William reached out to me. So I'm a I've been in human resources for, 23 years, with the last 10 years focused, or 12, I'm sorry, last 13 years focused in on talent acquisition. And for the last 7 years, I have been working for Freeman. We are the global provider of what we call face-to-face marketing services. And what that means is we put on large-scale conventions and trade shows across the globe, and we help our clients reach out to the attendees, and they try to sell their products. Well, we do things like booth design, the carpets you walk on at a trade show, the signage you see at a trade show, the whole logistics behind the trade show are all done by Freeman. So we're about $1.7 billion company this year, was just announced. And we are growing. We've got about 4,500 employees across the United States. And then we actually have about 30,000 union workers that help set up and break down these large-scale shows across the globe as well. So I've got a team of four recruiters. We call them talent acquisition specialists because we're trying to be hip. And we source all over the country. We have offices in Canada and in the UK, but we do not do any recruiting at this time for them. So a lot of it's focused on entry-level recruiting all the way to executive recruiting, really spanning across our industry, which, it's a very, very fun, hardworking, but yet very gratifying industry to be a part of.
Well, it's so great to hear that. Well, today we are at TalentNet Live Social Recruiting Conference, and it's so great to meet you in real life and then take the conversation, continue from there. I'm really excited to meet you in person. We haven't met at this moment.
Right.
So, yeah. So probably after the show we should do that.
Perfect.
Great. So what's keeping you up at night, or let's just say what's keeping your clients up at night? So that's what our regular conversation is all about, that Drive to HR. So where do you want to take us today?
Sure. So what's keeping me up at night, and actually I'm presenting with what I like to call a friend and someone I've known for over the last 3 years, Matt Cherney, ATS systems, applicant tracking systems are keeping us both up at night and in our presentation today at Talent Med Live. And if you're here and you want to swing by, we're on at 1:15. We are talking about how to build the world's greatest ATS system. And it's actually been a personal goal of mine to one day do that. So if anyone wants to loan me about $50 million in startup costs, I would be glad to take it, and you can be an investor in my in our new ATS system. But ATS is keeping up at night. They're very, very frustrating. So I think we're going to get a pretty big group to kind of help us build that and talk about the different aspects of where ATSs need to improve.
Well, that's great. So what do you see, you know, when you have this ATS and when you have all the social tools and technologies, when it comes to really engaging the candidates or connecting with the candidates, what do you see, what is missing in this social recruiting platform?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the social, so you're asking how does the ATS integrate with the social recruiting platform with us currently, mm-hmm. or just in general?
Yeah.
In general, so basically the way it integrates, and most applicant tracking systems have it now, is that you can, you know, find people that are with the company through LinkedIn. It'll give you, say, if you go to Freeman and you apply for a job, it says, do you know anyone at the Freeman company? And you can click the LinkedIn button and it would take you there. You could start to build a network there and kind of not only apply for the position, but also kind of go in the back way. We don't have a Freeman fan page, but we do not have a Freeman careers page. Just this year, we started Twitter, a Freeman careers. So if you go to at Freeman careers, FreemanCareers, you could definitely be, kind of see what's going on in our company. You can also see what positions we have open and really get a feel for our culture. So we're definitely working to build a following on Twitter, but we also have them, you know, we provide a link that goes right into our ATS. So they can click on that link and then apply for the position right there. So, you know, social media is only a part of it. It's really, you know, I think for recruiters and for the HR leadership that needs specific reports, it's the reporting tools that really lack a lot of functionality. And then the candidate experience can be maddening at times to candidates when they're applying online.
Hey, Michael, what's some of the bigger challenges? Hey, Yum Brands, they're an exciting place here. So what are some of the challenges? Because I know you guys recruit from, your company specifically, recruits a range of people and roles from executive level down to, you know, a really hardcore blue collar, get it done, you know, that type of level. So how do you change things up? I mean, from a two parts of the questions. One, kind of just the philosophy of recruiting, and two, kind of the actual tactical execution of how you approach it from technology to your sourcing. I mean, what do those two worlds look like?
So if I'm understanding the question correctly, basically, when you're recruiting for an executive versus applying or recruiting for, or even let's just call it a director, because we don't do a lot of executive recruiting. A lot of our people stay. When they come to our company, they stay. But basically, let's say for a director, who we know are going to be potentially on Twitter or on LinkedIn, we go out and use those methods to recruit people. So we're constantly sourcing on LinkedIn for our talent. We're driving them to our ATS, and then we're also driving them to our CRM tools. We have Gravitude, our CRM tools. And so for the lower level type positions, we are recruiting people through whether it be Monster or Career Builder, generally through the job postings, because you're not going to find those people on LinkedIn. You may find them on Twitter, but I don't think that blue-collar workers, laborers, even up to machine operators are not going to be, or forklift operators, are not going to be looking on the social side of things to find their job. They're going to go to the things that they know, whether it be Indeed, Simply Hired, or specifically go out to Monster, or go out to maybe a position-focused type job board, like Jobs in Trucks or JobsInLogistics.com, which are two great tools that we use for that lower-level type position.
Michael, this is William. What's the hardest position to recruit for you these days, and why do you feel like it's so difficult?
So that's a good question. So I would think that the hardest positions that we're really finding are in IT, and we don't do a lot of recruiting in IT, but when I see that, .NET developer or an e-commerce developer kind of slide through on in the mail going, hey, Michael, we're ready to open a position, I tense up a little bit. But the actual thing is they're actually a lot easier to find through either social sourcing or even just sourcing by doing your standard Google searches. The other types of positions that we tend to have trouble with, we started an experiential arm of our business, so an experiential marketing side of our business, and for the last probably 100-plus days, we've been looking for an account director. And this account director needs to not only have the sales experience, but they need to know the industry extremely well, and they had to have really kind of worked for an experiential agency, meaning advertising, knowing how to connect with end users when they go to certain shows, because they're going to be selling to our clientele to say, hey, you need to consider Freeman for what we can offer. It's called Freeman XP, so if you go to freemanxp.com, you'll see these positions. But essentially, we go out, they sell the business, and we're trying to sell them a slew of services around strategic direction. So if you go to a show, how can we do better than our competition? And those just seem to be really, really difficult to find because there's really not a lot of people out there. Experiential is kind of the newer buzzword out there that we're starting to see, and it's just been a pretty difficult to find, and I know we're going to be hiring more of those throughout the next year.
Let me ask a kind of a strategic question. Do you like to pull people from people that already kind of understand the industry or from competitors, et cetera? Or do you all like to train up, like give me some raw talent, maybe you have some specific skills, but we're going to teach you everything you need to know. Like what's your preference?
So that's a two-sided question, because really my preference is to take the time and train the people and give them the skills that they need. But you have to look at what the manager prefers, because that's our client. And they prefer someone that has the industry experience. However, there are a couple of positions that we look at, and they are willing to bring them in and train up. The first position, especially for those who are interested in getting into the event sales part of the industry, is we have what's called an account executive in our National Exhibitor Sales Group. And so what those folks do is they're on the phone a lot. It is, it's kind of a cold warm call, if you will. We've already sold the business, but now they're calling in, and the clients have no knowledge of these folks, and we give them, we're asking, hey, why don't we upgrade your services? Here's how, by upgrading, here's what we can do. And so they're going to bang out 40, 50, 60 calls a day, 5 days a week, and we've all been a part of telemarketing efforts, whether we were younger or just kind of trying to find our way. It's not the greatest part of the job, but the beautiful thing about this position is you learn every single aspect of the business. So after a couple of years, once you have all that down, you can really start to move in our company. You then move into our corporate account sales group, which oversees this group, and you are brought into you're brought in as an account manager, and so you kind of move away from sales, and now you're you're trying to uncover stones in businesses, and you become the face of the organization at shows or before the show or even post-show. You become that face for Freeman, and you start to build relationships with several different clients. And so it's really cool because you learn everything. The other place is our customer call center. So they need to have some customer service background. We've hired baristas from Starbucks. We've hired folks from McDonald's, Walmart's, because they know what service is about. We know that McDonald's and the Starbucks and all the retail outlets are going to provide them with a good training customer service focus. It's just up to us now to teach them the industry. And that also gives them a really good understanding of our business. But when you start moving away from those two areas, you then start to say, the managers start to say, we really need industry experience. And so it's it becomes a little more challenging because our industry is very incestuous. As a small industry, you're going to have that. They'll start at Freeman, then they'll go to GES, or then they'll go to Zarnowski, or then they'll go to a small exhibit house, and then they'll be back at Freeman 5 to 10 years later. It's quite interesting.
Michael, I have to ask you, in terms of technology, what are some of your favorite recruiting technologies today? What do you like to use? What's really kind of working for you? And I know if we have this conversation in a year, it's probably something different, but what's working for you right now?
I'll tell you what's working for me right now. LinkedIn is working for me as a sourcing tool. And then our pipelining is working. So we're going out and we're sourcing candidates. All of us are certified through the Arena Shaprova's certification program. We went through that and learned an incredible amount of sourcing skill. We get out on Google, we find candidates, we're scanning blogs, we're hunters now. We're not reactive. We're very proactive. So we then, if a position is not available for that person, the main tool that we're using is Avatar CRM, and that serves as our major pipeline. It does a really good job of pulling reports that we need so we can show our leadership, hey, this is what we're doing for you. We're not sitting around waiting for a chance to find out. We actually have people ready to present to you now. And the questions on their faces or the things that we hear on the phone are like, "Going to you're actually hunting again?" We go, "Yeah." And to me, that's when you need to pick the question.
Hey, I'm going to do a quick reset, everybody. It's William, Nisha, and Brian coming to you live at the Talonet Live at the Young Brands International Headquarters. And we're on with Michael Goldberg. So, Michael, when somebody says the word innovation to you, what's your response on what that is? Like within kind of your company, kind of the people equation, innovation's thrown around a lot. What does innovation mean to you?
I guess you're pulling that from our tagline where it says innovation dedicated to your brand. It's on all of our signature lines. I don't know if you knew that or not. But so innovation for us is finding new ways to do things, not being complacent about how things were done, whether it's been done this way for 15 years or it's been done this way for 2 years. You should always be looking for change, not just for the sake of change, but for the sake of making a difference and having a value-added impact on the business. And I know I'm buzzword-binging everybody here, but it's really true. We pretty much will take ideas and we will share that with our business owners, and we will make sure that they're on board before we do anything. Why? Because we can sit out there and roll out a bunch of HR programs or recruiting programs, and the business goes, "Oh, great, another program from down below or wherever the HR department sits in your area." And so, if I think I'm answering the question, innovation pretty much is about finding new ways that add value to the business, and that's what that means to me.
Great answer. And no, I didn't know that, by the way. I'm not that actually prepared pulling the innovation. Michael, this is my favorite question of late. What's the one thing from a recruiting talent acquisition perspective that people just need to get up every morning and stop doing? Like literally just never do it again and it would make the industry better?
You know, I would say they need to they need to reach out to candidates by phone. They need to get back to the old basics and not hide behind in-mail messages or email messages, because how can you be the face of the company, especially if you're the first contact with them, if you are hiding behind an email? Now, yes, I'm guilty of doing that from time to time, especially when I'm in a time crunch. But as of late, I'm trying to have my recruiters and myself, we're Googling phone numbers. We're trying to make that voice-to-voice connection. And it's actually working. And I think candidates appreciate it because you're really taking the time to find them. And I think we've just, as an industry or as recruiters have done, they pretty much rely on the Internet to do the talking for them. And I think that's where the candidate experience can fall short.
Well, and that's actually kind of a perfect segue in getting back to candidate experience. Is that, I mean, where's something that you feel like your organization and what you focus on, what's something maybe unique or something you feel you do a little bit better around the candidate experience? Because that obviously is something that is still miserable pretty much globally across the board. So any ideas you have to share with anybody out there listening would be great.
Sure, and I can't say this is the magic pill. I don't think there is a magic pill. I think you're always going to have someone that says, "Why didn't I hear back from you? Or what's going on? You know, why? You know, kind of the radio silence, no pun intended." But basically, the one thing that I think we do a good job of, and for every candidate that we touch, meaning we talk to, whether it's a phone screen or we have interviewed or made some type of initial contract or contact, we're following back up with them. We're following back with all those candidates. Now, the candidates that might go untouched or maybe didn't meet the qualifications, they're touched, but they're touched with an email at some point during the process. And what I've tried to invoke to our recruiters is, as you're reviewing resumes, and after in our case, we're a federal contractor, so we have to disposition for affirmative action purposes, is to send out the email you can send out a group email, or you can personalize it and just say, "Hey, thank you so much for applying. However, you know, we're looking for candidates that have X amount of years of experience. Right now, it appears that you need a few more years for us in order for us to consider you." Or sending out the thanks but no thanks, but just letting them know along the way instead of waiting until you close the position. And I think sometimes, and even when I used to, when I was between jobs, I would get these, you know, emails or postcards back in the day when we had mail, real mail. It would take, I don't know, 5-6 months. And, you know, out of the blue, I'd see this email, and it was like, really? That's your contact with me? Is 6 months later telling me thanks but no thanks? Great. What I try to have my recruiters do is do it along the way. The thing recruiters really need to know now, or in the now, let's put it, versus waiting 3-4 months, because you don't know how long that position is going to take. You know, some positions in our world take 2 weeks. Some can take up to 6 months, just depending upon how the hiring manager, what their schedule's like. Are they traveling? Because we do a lot of travel in our industry. So I think it all depends. So I would say that's how we try to make a difference. But there's no one all cure all. It's just treat the person with how you want to be treated. I mean, and that's an old, you know, the old adage, but it is right. It's how you have to how you treat people is how you're portraying yourself to for the organization on behalf of the job seekers.
Well, Michael, we have about 4 minutes left right now. So I really would like to hear your thoughts to the recruiters to really showcase their employer brand and let their audience know how it, you know, would feel like to work with that company, to really showcase what their company is all about. So what are your thoughts to those recruiters?
I'm sorry, you mentioned the last part of the question.
To really showcase their employer brand and about their representing their company, what should a recruiter should do?
What should they do? Thank
mm-hmm.
you. So recruiters need to treat every candidate with respect because they are representing the brand. They need to make sure that the that what they say they're going to do, they're going to follow up and get done. And make sure that when you're doing ads or posting your position, make the ads creative. Make the ads stand out above all the other job descriptions. Yes, those are job descriptions that people list out there versus talking to the candidate, getting them more interested. And if you look at our ads, we try to do that in ours. So that, to me, that showcases the brand as much as best as we can versus looking at, you know, a blog job description and you have a couple of pictures about what you do or you just have the name out there. That's not showcasing your brand. I think other ways you can showcase your brand is through the social side. You know, you guys did a great job in saying, you know, William said, you know, anyone can be a blogger. You have 18 months of content to share. Share your content. You know, talk with your company about, you know, blogging and being a part of the company blog. I've done 4 blogs for my own company, and they welcome our insight into talent acquisition. That helps get the word out about working for us.
Well, that's cool. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. So where can people come and find you, connect with you, your social media platforms, so that they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can reach me at Super Recruiter. That's, there's 2 R's there. It's SuperRecruiter. You can find me on Facebook. It's personal and it's business. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just go to Michael Goldberg. I think it's Michael Goldberg, MBA. Someone told me I had to do that to put that as my, even though it's not Michael Goldberg Jr., I had to put Michael Goldberg MBA. So I did that. But that's where you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find my blog, though I haven't blogged in a while. William, don't yell at me. You can go to WordPress and just type in Super Recruiter Blog, and I'm right there.
Well, great. Well, real quick, Michael, before we let you go, we have 1 minute. So I wanted to get your take on why these recruiters should attend TalentNet Live.
Why should recruiters attend TalentNet Live?
Uh-huh.
Is that your question? Recruiters should attend TalentNet Live. It's a one-day conference. It's very inexpensive. Craig Fisher and Bill Borman have done a great job at building. I know Bill just joined them over the last year, but you have great talent leaders that attend this. They're held not only in Dallas, they're held in other venues across the state of Texas and across the U.S., and now it's going to move toward across the world. You have a lot of networking opportunity and a lot of great it's a way to build your network and meet people and gain new ideas and be innovative.
Well, that's great, Michael. I can't wait to meet you. I'm going to head out of the room and come and catch you. So, great. And thank you so much for being here with us today at Drive2HR. And to our audience, we'll talk to you all tomorrow. Thanks. Bye-bye.